Hallelujah. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? It felt great on the outside to me this morning because I like it cool outside. It feels great on the inside today. Hallelujah. I hope your heart is warm. You got to keep your head cool, your heart warm, and your feet flat on the floor. Amen. Amen. We serve a mighty God. When you make Him Lord and King of your life, you can do that. You can do that today. You can keep your head cool, your heart warm, and your feet flat on the floor. Hallelujah. Because He's a mighty God. In everything, in every situation, He's a mighty, mighty God. Amen? Amen. So good to be with you this morning on Adult Sunday School. I want to turn your attention quickly to Genesis 50 and verse 26. So Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. We serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. Lord, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to understanding. Give us a desire, O God, to live for you above all else. Make us willing servants. Guide each word that I speak in love and in your will this morning. I give you praise in advance for what you're doing in our church. I give you praise in advance for what you're doing in my church. I thank you and give you all glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said in Jesus' name. As you're seated, look at your neighbor and say, I've come to have church. I've come to have church. So Joseph died being 110 years old. Who wants to be 110 years old? Hallelujah. I hope I live forever. 110 years old. They embalmed him and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. The book of Genesis, this is the end of the book of Genesis that we find this passage. And it is a somber words of our text that closes out the entire book of Genesis here. All of the promises God had given to Abraham and his offspring and all of the glories of the patriarchs end with a coffin in Egypt. A coffin in Egypt. And I want to preach to you, teach to you, talk to you today just for a little while. A mummy's message. A mummy's message. And an ending such as this must be and is much more remarkable. When we remember that a space of 300 years or so transpires between the last events in Genesis, a coffin in Egypt, and the beginning of Exodus and the events that are to take place. And during this time period, Israel was left with a mummy and a hope, a mummy's message. For three centuries, that silent coffin in Egypt preached an impressive message. What was the mummy's message? What did it say? I began to wonder about this in my small mind, and its speechless testimony spoke to me and to others. It speaks out to help keep hope alive in the hearts of the Hebrews. That's what it was for, a coffin in Egypt. It's a message. The first message is, it's a message that was a silent reminder of mortality. There is a time that you are going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death cometh the judgment. Now, the Egyptians' consciousness was much occupied with death, and it is very possible, even likely, that the corpse of Joseph was not laid in a tomb, but remained housed somewhere in the sight of all of Israel. At any time, on any given day, the Israelites would pass by and be reminded, here's the end of dignity, second only to Pharaoh's. Death has come to Israel's pride and protection and is entombed in that mummy, in that case. But what you and I must remember, that while that silent sarcophagus spoke to the successive generations to come about the finality of death, it had other brighter truths as well to tell. Those shriveled, colorless lips of that lifeless body that laid entombed in that coffin, mummified with many layers of linen, had left as their last utterance final words of hope. I die, but God will surely visit you. That was a message of hope. No one man, no man is necessary. Israel can survive the loss of the strongest and the wisest of leaders or men, but God lives. God lives. Though 100 Josephs will die, God Almighty lives. And the church is going to survive. With you or without you, the church is going to live on, because God is alive and on the throne. And he will surely, surely visit us. Amen. If we become more aware of our need of divine intervention in our lives through the loss of some saint, someone we've respected, we have been made better by their passing. The message of every sainted dead and their grave is meant to be, this man dies, but God lives. There is a hope for tomorrow. My hope is not just in the things of this present life, my few short years. My hope is for tomorrow, after I am gone. That is the message. God lives. I might pass away, but God lives. He'll raise someone else up to proclaim the word of God is true. The word of God is just. The word of God holds all the answers and keys to any problem you might have. The gospel will be preached to the whole world with you, with me, or without you, and without me. Leaves drop, and new leaves come. And the leaves that dropped last fall provide the nutrients needed for the spring's fresh beginnings of this year's life to come. Verse 6 of Exodus 1 tells us that Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. They all died. They all went away. They were gone. By no means was this the end of Israel. By no means was this the end of their future. In fact, the very next verse goes on to say in Exodus 1:7, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Death truly brings life. You can live life without fear of death because you have an expectancy of what's coming after death. My hope is in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is a mighty God. He is a mighty God. So out of death comes abundant life. Joseph dies, Israel grows. That's simple. All of his brethren, all of that generation, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased. But all of that generation of Joseph, they were gone. But the children of Israel still increased and they were abundant in the land. When a man dies, he is promised abundant life. But when a church dies, revival is imminent. When you die out to things of the world, when you die out to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, life is on its way. True life is on its way. Because something has to, the old man, the old nature has to die so the new man can rise. Amen. Amen. So when a church dies, revival is imminent because the church is God's handiwork. It lives only, only on and after many personalities of self, flesh, and self desires begin to die, then the church begins to rise, because we're getting flesh out of the way and we're getting into the Spirit, and the old must die, the old man must go, but the Spirit must rise. And how does that happen? There is a plan of salvation. Repent, repent. Repent, be buried in the name of Jesus Christ. When you come up out of the water for the remission of your sins, all your sins are washed away. You become a brand new creature. You've got to have a renewing of the mind and the spirit. You've got to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and be speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. That's not the old man, that's the new man. Amen. One man's death in our scripture, one man's death brought the hope of a promise. But when all of the men died, the promise was fulfilled. They were fruitful and they increased. They were abundantly and they multiplied. Listen, we have the hope. We have the hope of a promise. If one of us is willing to die out to the flesh, if we would just die out to the flesh, if one of us would, that there's a promise there. You're going to grow. Your spiritual man is going to step up and come to life. But if all of us as a church family would die out to the flesh, no more gossip, no more complaining, no more backbiting, no more no prayer time, no more no fasting time. Just stop the things of the world and begin to have prayer time and begin to have Bible reading time with your family and begin to open up the Word of God. You know, some of my greatest memories of my father is when he would open this book and he would stop me from my everyday routine and he would say, "We're going to read some scripture. I have a Bible lesson I'd like to talk to our family about." And we would push pause on everything else in life and he would begin to share the Word of God. Was my daddy perfect? No. Are there things that I wish he would have improved? I have a list. Are there things that I don't want to be or do that he did? Yes. But that's the whole purpose. Our children watch us. The next generation watches the generation before, and they're willing to die in that hope. Their forefathers and Joseph were willing to die in the hope. Hey, he's coming back. He's coming back. I've heard all my life, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Do you know my dad preached, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. My grandpa preached, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. They are dead and gone, but there's still a hope and fire inside of me, a younger generation, come up that I can stand before you to say, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Why? Because that hope, that seed that was in them and died with them was planted in me. And in you, so the next generation, the church that is to come, they have that hope and that fire and that desire to live for God, to serve God, to have family prayer. It doesn't start in the house of God. It starts in your home. You're the priest of your household. I challenge you to take authority as the priest of your household. If you're a single parent, take authority. If you're a mama and your husband don't come to church or live for God, take authority with your children. Show them the Word of God. Implant in them this seed of life. Implant in them this seed of hope. Because if you don't, and you die and go away, which you will, I'm sorry, you're all going to die, including me. We're all going to die. What are we leaving for the next generation? What are we leaving? A mummy's message. A mummy's message. Hallelujah. When we die as a church, we will grow. We will grow. I don't mean die like the church goes away. I mean when we die to things of the world and temptation and lust and worldly desires, and we begin to focus more on Jesus and Him crucified, and what we can do to help people who are hurting, who are lost, who don't have this hope inside of them. Why? Because somebody wasn't willing to share what God had given them. The mummy's message was also a message, a of hope. The reason for Joseph's dying request that his body should be preserved after the fashion of the Egyptians and laid where it could be lifted and carried away was the dying patriarch's firm confidence that though he died, he still somehow had a share in God's faithful promise. He had a faith in God. He had a belief. And although Joseph had thrown himself into his work in the land of his slavery and adoption, his heart was in the land of promise. Though he had lived in Egypt, he could not bear to think of laying there as a dead man all alone. He especially could not bear the thought of being left after the children of Israel were going to be taken out, because he had a promise. There was a promise. There was a promise. Israel had charge of that coffin because the dead man that laid in it had, on the very edge of the gulf of death, believed that he still had a portion and a right of the promise. You have a right to a promise that's far greater than the one that he had. Hallelujah. He, Joseph, believed that he still had a portion of Israel's hope, and that when he had plunged into the great darkness of death, he had not sunk below the reach of God's power to give him fulfillment of his unfulfilled promise. Even though he was going to die before God fulfilled the promise in his short lifespan, 110 years, that's a long time to me, but in his short lifespan, in the big scheme of things, it's but a vapor. It's but a hand's breadth. He still had a faith. Jesus is coming. Something is going to happen. The promise is going to happen. We're going to be delivered out of this land of bondage. We're going to be taken out of here. We're going to be caught away. His dying command was the expression of his unshaken faith that although he was dead, God would visit him with his salvation. Can I tell you this morning, salvation is a free gift. It's free of charge. You don't have to die lost. You don't have to die confused. You don't have to die with questions. Maybe you've been coming to church all of your life, but there's still questions that you have. God can reveal himself to you and answer those questions. You don't have to live in fear or doubt. There is a hope for tomorrow. There is a hope beyond death. Greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. I can be an overcomer because of that hope, because of that salvation, because of that power of the Holy Ghost. Joseph had lived trusting in God's bare promise. And as he lived, he died. A really good friend of mine has a family member that doesn't have full truth. And he made a statement that I really like. He told him, he said, "Pop-in-law, it's his father-in-law, if you're willing to live by your religion, you better be willing to die by it." I like that. Think about that. And if you're not willing to live by it and you die by it, you're in trouble. There is a hope for tomorrow. This short few years is not the end. It's just, we're just passing through. It's just a moment. It's just a moment. In fact, if you look at the scripture, the writer of Hebrews, speaking about Joseph, memorializes Joseph's trust when he points to Joseph's dying commandment concerning his bones as a noble instance of true faith. Though the slow centuries in captivity, and through those centuries of captivity, this nation, this silent preacher proclaimed a message of hope to this nation, to these people. Hope on. Hope on. Though the vision tarry, wait for it will surely come. Can I encourage you this morning and tell you, The issue that you're dealing with, the situation that you think is insurmountable, is just a moment. Hope on. Hope on. Keep the faith. Keep believing. Though the vision tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come. My God is faithful and will perform His word. He will come through with what He has promised. That was the mummy's message to Israel. There was so much to make their hope faint and become weak and doubt. Just imagine, we can't go a week without, well, God, you didn't answer my prayer yet. Over 300 years of slavery. Over 300 years. Well, Daddy said that we were going to get out of here and there was going to be an exodus and we're going to be delivered. And Daddy's dead now. And I'm an old man. Children, you're going to get out of here. There's coming a day you're going to march out of this old Egypt. You ain't going to have to make bricks and make stuff anymore. You're going to be a free nation, a free people. And they died. 300 years. 300. Mercy. Think about that. As the years begin to trickle away, drop by drop, the promises seem no closer to fulfillment. Some film of doubt must have been present in their minds. They were human just like you or I. That hope had to be fading in their hearts. And when new dynasties begin to reign and Israel slowly sank into the state of bondage that they would live out for those years, you begin to think about our lives and the day we live in and the problems we have now. What if God doesn't answer your immediate prayer this moment? What if it takes several generations? Do you still have hope and faith that He is going to answer that prayer? I do. I have a hope. I have a faith that's unwavering. We are going to be victorious. We are going to be overcomers. We are going to build a church in Carlisle, South Sulphur, Southwest Louisiana like